everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It is Labor Day. We just finished watching this edition of Monday Night Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday Night Tradition here on Mega Powers Radio, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. If this is your first time tuning in, we call ourselves the most interactive post-Raw experience available for a reason. We invite you listening out there to participate in all different means, to post questions, your comments about tonight's edition of Raw, all those various things. And I'm going to tell you about how you can participate in just a moment. But first, let me tell you all about how you can support the Raw Post Show and Mega Powers Radio. Number one way is by finding us on Patreon. Just search for Mega Powers Radio on Patreon, where for as little as $1, you can help keep things running here at Mega Powers Radio, bringing you stuff like the Raw Post Show, the All Talk Show, the Dace Man Show, and other things that end with show. Also, you can join us every single Monday night following Raw live. That's a great way to support us as well. And invite others to join as well. If you have other wrestling friends, tell them what goes down here on Mega Powers Radio. They might want to join in and keep things popping with more folks. You can also find us on tons of archive means. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. You can easily find links to all these by heading to smarkoutmoment.com. You'll see the Raw Post Show on the front page there, and you can find links to all of those various places. And while you're there, please give us a rating and a review, because that helps us climb the charts and get more ears onto the show here. And as I was saying before, if you want to participate in this show at any time, we're going to be opening up the phone lines around 11:30, but it's a good idea to call early and get yourself in line. And if you want to do that, pick up your phone and dial 760-512-7247. You can hear your voice live on Mega Powers Radio. We also have the chat room already popped open and lots of people in there. Shout out to those folks who are here early. Five Times Combo, Kalen Ferris, Silent Wind of Doom, Wazili, and I'm not sure if this is their first time here, but Fear the Beard 2782. Welcome, Fear the Beard. Or is that Sean? I have a feeling that's probably Sean. Fear the Beard, introduce yourself. Moving on here. Fellas, we're going to get the show started with us hosts here, and I would think we got a lot to talk about because it was 3 hours of... I'm joking. There was not much going on in this show here tonight. It was a Labor Day show. It was a holiday. I don't expect them to have gotten too much down. It's almost like a delay. But I'm not in the complaining mood. I still had fun with a lot of segments tonight, and hopefully we're going to be able to have the same fun vibe we've had going the same few weeks. Introducing the host here, my name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me is Tony Mango, president of SmartCutMoment.com. What's shaking, Tony?
Oh, fuck, this episode is terrible. Let's bitch about it.
How can you hate a show that has the New Day on it?
I don't hate that part of the show.
Also with us is Mr. Steven Huego.
It is good to be here, but it was not good to watch Raw.
All right, well, let's go with this then. What is your big takeaway on the show, fellas?
Raw fucking sucked.
Yeah, that's basically it. I think it's funny that both Wago and I, before Raw started, were like, you know, really hoping Raw doesn't suck tonight. And probably the worst part of the night was the beginning of it. And it was just like, oh, fuck you. Way to kill it before it even gets going, you know?
Yeah, the best part of it is it wasn't just a bad opening segment which set the pace for tonight. It was a bad opening segment which led to a segment where they went, and tonight you're getting Sheamus versus Randy Orton. Ah, oh, thanks. That's exactly what I want to watch. Oh, it's going to be an extra long match too?
Yeah, Yeah, but on the flip side of that, we had Dudley Boyz and Los Matadores with an awesome heel turn. We had Primetime Players and John Cena teaming together to go against Seth Rollins in the New Day, where we had an introduction of Xavier Woods' trombone skills. He teased it a little bit last week, but this week he was in full-fledged mode with that. I think there was a lot of fun stuff on the show. I can't say I'm too upset with it.
No, and you're right. There were some good segments, but I think there was just enough bad and enough poor pacing where the show as a whole just didn't deliver.
I think that this kind of goes back to what I had for my note for the first part of the night, actually, where it seemed like that there were two people writing this show, and that's sort of what we saw in the beginning promo. Seth Rollins comes out there, and he's cutting the most boring promo I have heard in the longest time. The fans are chanting boring. I'm falling asleep, practically, and I'm not tired at all. And then there's this dramatic shift, and Sheamus comes out, and it seems like two different people scripted it. And you look at Monday Night Raw tonight, and it's like they had these terrible, terrible things. And then it would be like a fun backstage thing with the New Day, and then we're going to lead into a shitty Divas thing. Like, you know, it's like two writers were battling back and forth about who was going to get a chance to work on tonight. And they split the, you know, you work at this part, I'll work on these things. And one of them was terrible and one of them was great.
Now, like, here's the thing, Tony. You're close. Except that instead of two writers, it's like 50. 40. Yeah. That's and the problem.
There's probably one guy who was responsible for the good stuff. And the 40 of the other ones all divvied up to do bullshit.
They actually had a good script tonight. And then someone sneezed and had to rewrite it all.
But
look at that promo that started the night off. And this is a great way of like an indicator of how this night went. The fans are chanting boring. Seth Rollins doesn't know what to do with the fans that are chanting boring. He's just like, ha 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 ha, this is awkward. I can keep going, guys, because there's about 10 more minutes left in this promo. So sorry. And it stems back to what I was saying last week. You don't need to do something the previous week. Remind me about it this week. Then have somebody cut a promo about it, and then after the promo, have the commentary team repeat what the fucking guy said. I'm not a moron, and even if I wasn't a complete idiot, I would still prefer a more entertaining option than droning Seth Rollins. But you get this, like, weird situation that I never expected to be able to say, which is, got so much better when Sheamus came out.
Oh, the best part of the whole thing was when Sheamus came out and he's like, do you have any idea how stupid you sound? And then Seth Rollins, without skipping a beat, is like, do you have any idea how stupid you look? And the whole crowd went into, oh, like in the cafeteria or something.
Actually, I will give Sheamus props tonight. He was the best part of about that opening segment, and I have no idea why.
He cut a joke at his own expense about Ronald McDonald. Hey, don't mention my family.
Yeah, it was pretty ace. So hats off to Sheamus. He actually delivered tonight.
For that, at least.
Is there still a chance that he might cash in on Sunday?
No.
I think by having a segment like this, it makes it too obvious. And now I do not think there's a chance at all.
No, but I'm glad they did this segment because I think they've been ignoring the fact that he has the contract way too much. So,
but they were also blaring it too hard for a while. They had to pull back.
It's good to do these segments once in a while, and I think they're getting the hang of pacing it.
Yeah, but they really didn't know what they were doing with this, and I'm surprised that they threw that in there because it's smart for them to throw it in there. But the rest of this was just so, like, then you go from that to, like, this backstage promo where, like Wego said, they're like, hey, I know it took 20 minutes for us to get to this point, but we're going to announce the shit that'll really make you stay here, like Orton versus Sheamus. Yeah, okay, I didn't give a fuck the first 700 times. I'm going to care about it now. And then we go into the Shrieking Pages theme, which is just like, oh, that reminds me of that shitty match you had last week with Sasha Banks. Like, the first 35 minutes of this episode of Monday Night Raw was just kind of like, yo, here's a bunch of shit that you don't like and more shit that we're going to keep doing. And this funny little joke in the middle of it and stuff like that. You don't win me over with one of my favorite guys in the company right now doing a shitty promo and following it up with one of my least favorite guys and all this other kind of stuff. And I was just like, at that point, I started checking out, and it was tough to get me back into this episode of Monday Night Raw.
Well, again, we have to fully watch it in order to be good judges of it. Exactly. So we're going to go through and we're going to see what you were paying attention to. We know it wasn't the Sheamus and Orton match. I know you already weren't looking at that, which honestly, you didn't miss anything with that one. Normally, I'll at least call you. I'd be like, no, they actually had a decent match. No, not tonight, not so much. Yeah, I have no defenses for that one.
I missed an RKO out of somewhere.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll get to that. That RKO had a really odd placement, and I'm not even just like making a joke. Like, there really was an odd placement of that RKO in this match. But I want to talk about our main story tonight, which was set up in this opening promo by Seth Rollins in the ring, which was Sting finally has shown himself to have possession of Seth Rollins' statue, which has been at large the last couple weeks. And he keeps cutting promos in the back of himself with the statue in this dark, shadowy place. We don't know where they are. Seth Rollins throughout the night has to have not one, but two matches, basically setting him up for having to do the two matches at Night of Champions. And by the end of the night, Sting shows himself with that statue to be standing in front of a garbage truck. And he knocks the statue into the garbage truck, as you would expect, crushes it, rides off on the garbage truck, and I guess that took him back to TNA. I don't know.
I think he took it back to the wasteland.
Oh, is that where all the people with face paint are from now?
Yeah.
Everybody goes to the wasteland. And when he got there was Connor standing there saying, hey, welcome to the wasteland.
What a perfect symbolism for this episode, though. It ends with garbage.
It ends with Sting riding off on a garbage truck waving. Like, wow.
See you guys in Destination America.
And just like Sting looking like a fucking clown while he's waving and stuff like that. It's just like, oh. Like, if people didn't know how badass Sting is supposed to be, you would really just look at him and think he's just an asshole in clown makeup.
I don't mind when they do these segments where it's basically the heel just getting fucked over by one of their prized possessions getting destroyed. But it was just such an underwhelming thing to do. And I mean, I can't suggest anything else that I would have done, but backing in a garbage truck, it was just like, okay.
I'll tell you why it was underwhelming, because during this, there's an important thing in production when you're setting up a thing like this. And it's important whether you're doing it in practical effects or whether you're doing it in 3D. And it's that you have to make sure that weight looks real. And the problem with this statue is the weight on it looked like shit. Like Sting knocking it over and the way it just like went down and fell down like a freaking pillow. It did not look like a statue. Then the way it got crushed, it just like crumpled so easily. I did not believe this was an expensive statue. I believe this was paper mache.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an issue, especially when they built the entire show up to that moment. That's what that shitty opening promo was all about, setting that.
And it's not even a matter of making a higher quality statue. You could have just done a different way of destructing it.
Explosion would have been nice.
Explosion, dropping some type of like acid or something on it, dropping it off of a high location.
Dropping a giant anvil on it.
Yeah. Now we're cooking with fire. Yeah, cooking with fire.
Or you could just drop the anvil on it.
What, Jim the Anvil?
Yeah.
All right, we can drop Jim the Anvil, who's on fire.
All right. We're solving
that explains why he's always so sweaty. He's on fire. That family's been through enough. I guess this gives Sting some heat on Seth Rollins. This makes Sting look like an asshole to me, if I have to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
right?
He's always come off as an asshole, though. Like, if in WWE, I mean. He's just some guy that shows up in the dark and fucks people over.
Oh, man, he introduces with the most annoying goddamn sound in the world. Gah! It's like, God fucking damn it, Sting.
No, that's not the most annoying sound in the world. The most annoying sound in the world is Paige shrieking.
Well, that would be a terrible way of Sting coming on the screen every time.
Yeah, every time Sting comes on, it's Paige going, this is my house!
Oh, it's a Paige? Oh, thank God, it's just Sting. Oh, the Paige is coming out now.
Sting, Sting.
It's just Sting.
That was so great that Seth Rollins was doing that tonight. Sting!
Well, Seth Rollins had two matches throughout the night. He had a singles match against Ryback, a champion versus champions match, which you think would be a bigger deal, it played it off like it was just nothing magical Impai. Matter of fact, the bigger story they were telling throughout this was the fact that Seth Rollins would have to wrestle a second match later on in the night. In general, though, I don't think this was a terrible match. They were telling the story also of Ryback having this amazing resiliency and getting back no matter what was trying to knock him down, whether Seth Rollins was hitting with all these big moves or trying to keep him outside of the ring for a countout. It ends with Sting causing the distraction on the Tron and Ryback getting a roll-up for the pin. Cool. Ryback gets a victory. They didn't have to make him look weak, and Seth Rollins kicked his ass for a lot of this match, and he was distracted by Sting, so it's not a weak loss for him. I have no complaints about this segment. You guys are the ones who are down on it, though. What do you got to say about it?
This was one of the few things that I wasn't down on during this event. I wouldn't have minded being the main event because, like you said, it's a champions versus champion thing. They've done somewhat of a decent job of reestablishing the IC belt, so it would have been nice for them to show a bit more respect to that. Surprised at Ryback getting a win. I'm glad he did. I'm a big Ryback supporter. And I thought you could have just tied the whole Sting thing into... Sting thing? the Sting thing into the Ryback match and just had that as the main event. I get what they were doing with the whole double duty because he's going to be doing that at the pay-per-view. I just wish it would have gone on last.
Duty.
I liked the match overall. Ryback was looking pretty strong. Like you said, he kept getting knocked down, and then he got Ryback up again. Never going to keep him down. I had to. but I liked even more so than the match the things that happened before this, which was Ryback's promo backstage where he's pantomiming the moves that he normally does, which was amazing. Now that's a whole new level of this weird version of Ryback that we've got in our minds, where now he's like a mime too.
And yeah, but the facial expressions he had during that was so fucking weird.
Yeah, which was even better because he's just like this awkward fucking guy. And then we had Kevin Owens coming up there doing the douchebag eating an apple thing, which by the way is called the snack, is more interesting. It's you get the jerk guy who eats an apple to prove that he's not really interested in what he's talking about and wants to just seem like a complete, complete jerk. And Owen's just sitting there going like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to eat some more, huh? Like, just fucking love Owens. Love the Ryback thing. Match was kind of cool. And, you know, when we got to, what was it, like the 2-hour mark, and we were looking back and going, well, which one of the two matches were the best of the night? For a while, it was this one.
I like how we're talking a lot about like screen storytelling and stuff like that. We're talking about how important weight is and, you know, the placement apples. Of an apple.
And how to pantomime, like, acting techniques.
Mango, a TV tropes reader by Silent Wind of Doom. I'm sure Mango has trolled that website many a times.
You can get lost on that website. Mm. Fully endorse it.
WWE is giving KO a push towards the IC title, says Fear the Beard 2782. He is a prize fighter, and if he's not getting that US title anytime soon, he certainly ain't going for the world title. Why not the IC title?
I'm going to be so conflicted if those two feud, well, when they feud, because I'm a big Kevin Owens supporter, but I really don't want Ryback to lose that belt. I was kind of hoping Ryback would keep it for the rest of this year.
And Kevin Owens can't come out the weak guy in another feud.
Yeah, I mean, he's just gone from beating Cena to now being Cena's bitch and struggling with lesser guys. So he really does need to pick up a win, and an aggressive win at that.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of... I don't know who to root for, because I want Owens to be the Intercontinental Champion, but I wanted him to win it around Survivor Series. Well, and I don't want this to drag out until then.
Yeah, I was about to say, they could stretch it out to then. Depends on how good the matches are. These guys might have some crazy chemistry.
Well, if it turns out that these guys have got really good chemistry, I wouldn't mind seeing it be a 3-month thing. But if it's a dud match, I hope they don't stretch it out.
Mm-hmm. The only way I'd be okay with them stretching it out is if we also include Big Show, Cesaro, and The Miz. Because then you've got like some, you know, stuff to play around with.
I thought you were kidding. Can we not have 10 people feuding for the goddamn belt for once?
Well, during these long title feuds, I actually think they need to include more people because they need to have justification for why these guys can fight for the belt again. If you've just lost a title match, you do need to go back to the drawing board and beat a few people. So even if they're just there to be pinfalls for Kevin Owens, I'm fine with that.
We got a tweet from Dane Quinn on Twitter saying, at Raw Post Show, if your ratings go down this week, it's because at Christian for Peeps is live on hashtag Stone Cold Podcast. Got a point. We know where he'll be. You know, the nice thing about being on a podcast is you don't need to have the blue dot up. Oh, wait, I guess on theirs they do because it is a video podcast. We got an interesting tweet here from Douglas Hedenberg. It's at Raw Post Show, hashtag Raw Post Show. Enthralling tweet. Thank you,
Doug. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. Let's say that.
All right, let's dig back to the beginning of the show here. We had a rematch from last week, Sasha Banks versus Paige. We complained a long time about the treatment of the Divas and Sasha Banks especially through that. Sasha Banks at least got a win this week, but man, could they have had more than 3 minutes?
Nope.
Fellas, anything we want to follow up from last week, or are we just going to echo those thoughts?
Why do all the Divas mess with their hair during their entrance?
I thought that's just what women do all the time.
Yeah, pretty much that's true. Yeah,
dude, if you watch the freaking Paige and Stone Cold podcast, holy shit, she does not stop like flicking her hair and playing with it and shit.
Yeah, I know Austin too.
I noticed that when I was watching NXT, I think it was, that Alexa Bliss did that when she came to the ring.
Oh, she's awful. She does it all the time.
And I noticed that tonight Paige was doing it, and I can't remember who else did it now. I think it might have been Sasha Banks. Yeah, it would have made sense. But, like, they fluff their hair all the time, and I'm just kind of like, well, shit, if you spent less time doing that, maybe you'd actually have more time to wrestle. Fuck. They don't know what they're doing with the Sasha Banks thing, do they?
At least they're moving in the right direction by these girls finally having singles matches and not strictly tag team matches. That was getting a little excessive. But I want to see these factions totally break up soon, and hopefully it comes when Charlotte takes the title off of Nikki Bella.
At Night of Champions.
At Night of Champions. She's not going to win before that.
Well, that brings us to a segment they had later on in the night. The Bellas come out, along with Alicia Fox, I mean Team Bella. Nikki Bella is showing her, what's it, the Bella Clock, or whatever the hell it's called.
Bellatron.
The Bellatron, how much time she has left until she's going to be the new longest reigning Divas champion. And she said next week on Raw, she's going to be having a Bellabration. Oh, come on, Tony. You don't like that?
No, and for the record, Bellatron sounds like the worst goddamn Transformer ever.
Listen,
it's only funny when Bo does it, damn it.
Bellabration was my second favorite pun said on this show tonight, and we'll get to my favorite one a little bit later.
Is that the who said it?
No, it's not the who said it, but... I do have it as a backup who said it, but anyway, the party gets crashed by PCB, who attack them like bullies. Again, baby faces looking like total heels, and that was our segment. Hashtag Divas Revolution, guys.
What needs to happen here, I said it before when I said that that should have been a triple threat at Night of Champions, but next week, if they don't do this, I think they are really fucking dumb. You need to have Charlotte versus Nikki go on for, I don't know, past a commercial break, really make you think that they're investing a lot in this. And it needs to be good, too. You know, it needs to be on the women to put on a good match. And, excuse me, it needs to also end with Sasha Banks fucking up the pinfall.
Hmm.
Disqualification means that Nikki Bella retains the title. She passes that year mark or whatever it is. And Charlotte's all pissed off. Sasha Banks is like, look, I beat Paige. You never even factored me into the beat the clock thing. I want a match because now you just lost your title match. You had it for Night of Champions, but you decided to cash it in ahead of time. I want a match. They make it a triple threat. Then you can have a new champion, and it should be Sasha Banks.
That sounds so complicated.
Yeah, how about Charlotte just wins and then wrestles Sasha later?
Something else that went through my head as Nikki was out there prattling on was she was talking about the Bellabration. I was like, how crazy it would be if just in the middle of the Bellabration you just heard, light it up! AJ Lee comes out, says, you ain't beating my record. I want a title shot right now. And because she's AJ Lee, she can get it.
And the fans are crazy, and they start chanting for their favorite wrestler, CM Punk. Yeah.
I think this probably would be what they'd fucking do.
And yep. It's a split crowd. The other side of the crowd's going, Chris Amon, Chris Amon.
Oh, goodness. Well, whatever you guys got to say out there about the Divas Revolution or anything else that went down on Raw, let us know in the chat room. Dial it on your phone, 760-512-7247. Tweet to us at Raw Post Show or in the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Moving along with what went down on the show tonight, we had Summer Rae coming out to the ring, inviting out Rusev to apologize to him for everything that's been going down with Dolph Ziggler and her seeing him naked, allegedly, whatever happened with that. She begs for his forgiveness, and he gives it to her because he says, oh, I know it's not your fault, it's Dolph's. And this prompts Summer Rae to fall back into his arms. Oh, my Ruru. Fucking Ruru. Fucking Ruru.
The only thing that was worse than Ruru was those terrible segments leading up to this.
Well, first he loses his first name. Now he loses the second syllable of his name. He just gets the first one twice. He's just Ruru.
Isn't Ruru the thing from Winnie the Pooh?
I think it's just Roo.
The Roo's so nice, they named him twice.
Holy shit, was Summer's acting bad in this, by the way.
I know, Jesus. I hated all of this as soon as those horrible narrations of the love story going on. They tried to make it all fucking TMZ-like. It was terrible.
Where the hell was that guy they got?
I don't know.
That's not the usual voiceover guy they use.
He was fucking abysmal, and I don't know where they got him from, but they should never fucking use him again.
I could just picture him with, like, fucking hair gel and, like, I don't know, a collared shirt and a vest.
the collared shirt, the vest, and the tie.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's got to be, like, that, like, plaid kind of pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, maybe, like, a little Van Dyke.
A what?
Van Dyke, like, the little goatee kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, real douchey kind of thing like that. Maybe, like, what would his name be? I'm trying to picture, like...
I bet he drives a Prius.
He'd be, like, Topher. I don't go by Chris.
You know what was horrible about the placement of this segment, too? It came right after a segment we've yet to talk about, the Edge and Christian one. It just... After being on such a high, it just brought me down so low again. I finally got sucked into the program. And he just took me right out of it.
And they showed this twice.
Oh, that video that they had. They played that multiple. They're really going heavy on this. And the worst part about it is the storyline is all fucked up now because the story's coming out. Lana hurt her wrist and is not going to be able to do any physical action for, I believe, 4 months.
Well, thank God we don't have to see another scuffle.
Well, are they really going to stretch this out for 4 months?
No,
until
they can't.
We could actually have a match. Like, do we really have to have this match?
No, what they need to do is just fucking have Lana pull the wool from over it. Like, just turn on Dolph. Just get it over with. Separate, run away all from this horrible feud. Pretend it never happened.
What they need to do is go back in time and do what I was saying for the past month, which was end it at SummerSlam with a mixed tag match. This never needed to go to Night of Champions.
I'm still okay with Dolph and Tong Po running off to Las Vegas.
At this point, you know, so am I. He could be his Ruru.
Dolph and Ruru. Oh, one other thing of note. Rusev got his own custom nameplate during his entrance to the ring tonight. It looked pretty badass. It had the Bulgarian flag and this really, like, gritty-looking text for his name.
Yeah, the only thing that would have made this better is if they just played his music extra loud over the rest of the promo, though.
What's better, his or Bray Wyatt's? Because I missed the Rusev one.
Oh, I mean, Wyatt's is still cooler. But we had a match that I'm sure we were all clamoring to see. Randy Orton versus Sheamus.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
My gosh. I feel like every time this match comes on, we complain about how we've seen it 50 times. And that was 50 times ago. This match has happened so goddamn many times. And I'm normally one of the first ones to come to the defense of saying these guys have a decent match, and they did not tonight. They were not in their game. I just don't think they knew how to make it fresh. The ending was typical. Randy Orton hit an RKO, but You know, they say he hits the RKO out of nowhere, but this literally was just so fucking random. They were going through like a series of chain wrestling, and then boom, RKO.
It's I'm like, okay with it.
I like logic. I like building up to moments, you know?
If this was a short match, I would have been perfectly fine with it, but you are right. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a long match, it needs a big finish, or at least a logical finish.
My favorite finisher of all time, Sweet Chin Music. When Shawn Michaels starts slapping his leg and he starts hitting the mat with his foot, you know it's coming.
It's I personally put it as, if not number one, my number two finisher of all time. And to be quite honest, that one that I debate it with is the RKO. Just because the RKO can almost be hit out of any position, or there's some way of transitioning into it. And same with the super kick. As far as this match goes, it was just way too much time given to a match that we've seen way too many times. Sheamus came into the company, and as soon as he left DCW, he was in a program with John Cena. He got the belt, and it wasn't too long before he was already defending his title against Randy Orton on pay-per-view. And from there on in, we've seen it throughout every year of Sheamus's career. And it's been way too much. They're not reinventing themselves. It doesn't get better if one's the babyface and the other's the heel if they switch it around. It's just a shit match.
Yeah, but at least they tried something different this time around. I mean, I remember there was this one part in here where Sheamus did a backbreaker, and there was another one where Randy Orton did a headlock, and there was an Irish whip. There was, that scoop slam.
Well, if it was done by Sheamus, was it just a whip?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't watch any of this.
Oh, fuck this feud.
Holy shit. Can you pick any more an example of a match that I could not have cared the slightest bit about this match?
And here's the thing. This match could have been short and accomplished the same thing, because this wasn't even about the match. It was about what happened after the match, which was, as soon as it ended, Sheamus, you know, celebrates leaving. Or no, excuse me. Sheamus leaves, Randy Orton celebrating in the ring, and then we get Bray Wyatt's little bleh, and then the Wyatt family appears. And the three of them beat him down, including Braun Strowman hitting his two finishers on him. And the Wyatt family just stands there looking strong. Worth mentioning that it was earlier in the night we saw Randy Orton talking to Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose as, I guess, potential teammates for them to join against the Wyatt family. So that you said that it's probably writing him out. I thought maybe it was making him want to have more of a vendetta, but it does look like they are going the route of taking him out of action and building the story of, well, whoever they try to get as their third man, they're going to beat down.
Mm-hmm. Mark Henry needs to be the next one. Or R-Truth.
You just want to see them get beaten down and taken out.
To an extent, but also because they're big enough names that it would kind of look like, well, maybe they'll put them in there, and then they can written off and not wrestle at Night of Champions and nobody would care.
Yeah, and bring Del Rio back. That'd be funny.
Yeah, just beat him anyway. He doesn't have to be a part of this match.
Fear the Beard saying, is Orton the third man for Night of Champions? I do feel like ultimately in the end, Orton will probably come back like the Raw before Night of Champions to show himself being the guy for the team.
Yeah, but then what's Eric Rowan going to do?
Isn't he injured like until sometime next year?
I don't know. I just cracked up that I mentioned that it'll probably be Eric Rowan, and then rumors start flying out that it's going to be Eric Rowan.
Well, Eric Rowan is like still on the injured list, but we don't know exactly how far along that is. I mean, he could have just made a better recovery. He's been gone for a little bit. Mm. And the Raw before Night of Champions is just next week.
Oh.
So if Orton was written off for this week and he just comes back next week, it's not going to mean anything.
What if it is Baron Corbin?
I think it is.
Huh.
I don't.
I think that's why they had that graphic made up. Now they might be able to switch it at a time.
That isn't a Photoshop?
Looked exactly like the image that's up on there now.
I mean,
that's the idea of a Photoshop.
Well, I mean, everything WWE puts up is Photoshop too. Yeah. So, I mean, like...
Like, I don't know if that was just a bullshit image that people were leaking around.
It's hard to tell, man. Did you see that fucking, what was it? Was it the Royal Rumble? No, it was SummerSlam. That SummerSlam banner they had that just looked like they just dropped, like, templates of the wrestlers on the subway. Mm-hmm. It looked fucking awful. So that, yeah, that looked the same way that that image did too. Yeah, I thought that was fake too, but no, that was legitimately on their website. So that like might have been the legit image they made, and they probably also made one that had like the little vacant question mark on it. And
well, the thing that didn't just help messed about up
which
that,
one they posted.
There was one that they had of the SummerSlam one with an incorrect date, so it looked really fucking fake.
Well, plus Baron Corbin looks like the type of guy that could team up with him.
He does.
And there's not many other people that aren't wrestling at Night of Champions that could be on there. Like,
it's not they're a not bad way to build up this whole thing.
We need a new big guy for the Shield to take the heat off Roman.
But I mean, like, who else are they really going to do? If they can't do Eric Rowan, then I mean, I wrote an article about this a couple weeks ago, even, and I was just like, you know what? Who the hell would it be? Because like, Ryback's going to defend the IC title. Can't be him. It can't be somebody like Curtis Axel or Damian Sandow. It can't be like Brock Lesnar's not going to come in. The Rock's not going to come in. Adam Rose, who the fuck's he going to do? Like, yeah, it's like you have a limited amount of people. Baron Corbin makes sense. The only thing that's going against him, other than being an NXT, is that he's a heel.
I guess
they can get around that easily.
There's only one person that I thought about from NXT, and it wasn't Baron Corbin.
Is it Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, Samoa Joe, I think, is another good option they could go with.
They're all fucking indie darlings. It'd be kind of, well, Roman isn't, but he was for a little while. at least by the internet. I can't explain what I'm saying.
Sure, for that matter, they could even just grab Finn.
Yeah, they could always
just
do
like
that.
You like playing your mind games, Wyatt? Well, we went and found someone who's even better at mind games and just have him come out in the demon paint.
That'd be awesome.
And that'd be a good tease for a future program for Finn.
Mm-hmm.
When he finally does come up, him and Bray Wyatt, that'd be awesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, the match might fucking suck, but the lead up to it.
But, like, the video they would make for it,
mm-hmm.
like, they could really play into the theme of them both being dark minds.
Plus, I kind of want to hear if Bray Wyatt says Finn, like, he says man.
Finn. Like, Finn.
What's up, Finn? Finn.
Speaking of Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, they actually did have a match earlier on the night that I skipped over. It was them against the Ascension, basically a squash match. Roman Reigns winning with the spear, nothing really to say.
Yeah, way to help promote that Cosmic Wasteland stable, right?
Yeah, that was one thing. The Ascension was just aligned with Stardust, and it's supposed to be this whole new thing, and not even a week later, shitting all over it.
Well, hang on, they improved. They got on television.
Well, this is true.
Maybe yeah, just
a SmackDown exclusive story.
Like, wouldn't this have been a better spot for, like, well, no, I can't even argue that. I was going to say for Lucha Dragons, but they're baby faces. Shit, couldn't Lucha Dragon and Los Matadores just do double duty?
Hey, Lucha Dragons are going to end up turning heel as soon as they need to put someone else through a table.
Nah, they're there to help out Neville against the Cosmic Wasteland. That's my prediction.
So we had a much more entertaining tag match. We had the Dudley Boys against Los Matadores. This is fun, mainly because there was this whole mishap with one of the Matadores crashing into the other one in the corner, knocking him down. El Torito gets up saying, "Hey, what the heck is up with that? What did you do? You just hit your own partner." And that Matador responds by bull smacking the frickin' bull, knocking him down off of the ropes, down to the ground. Absolutely fun to see. Turns around into a 3D for the pin. This prompts both Matadores just to lose their shit, and they both start beating up on the bull. And 3D, or I keep calling them Team 3D. Good job, TNA. The Dudley Boys are deliberating up on the ring, thinking, should we go help them? Yeah, we should probably go help them. So in they go. They grab a table, put the Matadores through a table. And I don't know if this will end up with an alliance for the Dudley Boys and the bull. I could enjoy a bull Dudley, but... This was fun.
Good, clean fun. He can't be Torito Dudley. It needs to be Bull Dudley.
It needs to be Bull Dudley.
He needs to be 3D Dorito. They need to bring them back.
Hey, Torito, what did the hand say to the face? Slap.
That was great. So, a heel turn for the Matadores. I don't know if this means they're actually going to even stick around as heels, or maybe this is going to mean the end. I was thinking maybe just one of them was going to turn heel and then be like, all right, enough of this Matador shit. I'm going to become a badass Spanish dude. Start doing like the Vato thing, like Camacho.
Like Unico?
Same guy, pretty much.
Yeah, it didn't work out for them. And, you know, there's been reports that they were going to take Los Matadores and repackage them. The hell are you going to repackage them as that'll make them seem better? Epico and Primo are exactly the same as Los Matadores.
Yeah, and you can't just take the masks off them because then everyone's like, oh, look, it's Epico and Primo, they're back again.
Yeah. Oh, so this team that sucked before and then sucked before that still sucks.
Well, you could put them in different masks.
Like,
they're completely new people.
Like, all right, we're going to take the Puerto Rican people and we're going to make them Mexican matadores. All right, well, that didn't work. So let's see what other kind of stereotype we can fit them in that doesn't make sense.
Let's hear your French accent, guys.
Oh.
They did have those French berets on for a while. They could just, like, keep those hats and just, like...
What would be the French equivalent to the Los Matadores?
And what the fuck are they going to use for a mascot?
A baguette.
Baguette. El Baguetto. I'm lost on this one. Anyway, Dudley Boys looking strong as the number one contenders. We had a singles match between Cesaro and The Miz. Did not last very long. Big Show comes out, scaring Miz, hightailing out of the way for a count out. Big Show knocks out Cesaro for good measure. And that was that. Cesaro had a new t-shirt.
Yeah, I thought it was his old one, but you corrected me. That's kind of cool that they remade it.
Again, I'm so tired of this Big Show Miz. Five people fighting for the damn Intercontinental title. Enough.
I'm sad that I can't find any kind of like French soldiers or something like that.
Well, it's because French people just surrender. They don't actually fight in wars.
Los Surrendores. They come to the ring and immediately lay down. Yeah, the best part about this Big Show thing was the fan that slapped his arm and he looked back like, don't you ever fucking do that again. Guy shit himself.
Oh, so before I go back to what was probably the best thing going on throughout the night, one thing I didn't notice, or I did notice and didn't mention, is when Seth Rollins was coming out for the main event match of the night, there was this random part where this dude just like... came around from the side and started walking alongside Seth Rollins, and it was just all... Did you guys see this?
No, I wasn't looking at the screen at the time.
No, to be quite honest, I was having a hard time paying attention by
neither
the end.
Of you saw this? Someone in the chat room I know had mentioned this, like Seth Rollins is coming to the ring and there's just random dude, and he looked like I don't know, a famous rapper or something. I couldn't even say who he looked exactly, but he looked so out of place, and he was just walking alongside Seth Rollins like he was in his crew. And then, like, the camera cut away, like, it wasn't for a good 3 seconds. Like, he was there. And, like, he didn't, like, attack Seth Rollins. He didn't, like, you know, try to make signs at the camera or anything. He just, like, walked all chill alongside him. Like, he was supposed to be there.
Maybe if I act natural, they won't notice me.
That's pretty much what it was like. Someone out there, give me answers to this. I know someone out there in the chat room had to have seen that. But the most fun we had tonight, first off, was in the backstage area. Seth Rollins is going around looking for Sting in the statue, but he is met by the New Day, who informs him that he should just focus on the power of positivity and help him find everything and get through it. But this is interrupted when Edge and Christian show up. Edge gets in Seth Rollins' face, scaring him away, but then that leaves New Day, specifically Xavier Woods, getting into a battle playing the trombone against Christian, who pulls out a kazoo, and they're playing little ditties back and forth. Then the Dudleys show up. They start talking some smack. They let New Day know that they're going to be facing primetime players next week for their tag titles on the line, and then the Dudleys will be facing the winner of that at Night of Champions. A lot of things actually happen in this segment, but most importantly, we had a kazoo and a trombone battle, and that was tons of fun.
And we saw Big E try to eat a kazoo.
And fail.
Fail really badly. That was actually my favorite part of this whole segment. But, God, this was just fun. It was cool seeing the Dudley Boys and Edge and Christian interact again. This is everything you want in pro wrestling. Just fun.
It's too bad the Hardys couldn't be there. I wonder what they're doing.
Something to do with grapes.
Some kind of drug somewhere.
I heard they got no drinks, though.
Hope Drew drank them all.
Well, this leads to our main event, Seth Rollins and the New Day going against Primetime Players and John Cena. This was a very fun six-man tag main event, most notably because of Xavier Woods and that trombone continuing just to play during the right moments throughout the match. One of my favorite things they also did is Big E had John Cena headlock, and he was like wrenching the headlock to the beat of the New Day Rocks clapping. And then there was parts where he had him up in like a suspended vertical suplex, and he would do the dips as Xavier Woods was going, so much fun throughout that. I can tell you that trombone will probably get old fast if they keep doing it every week, but for now and maybe for a couple weeks, it's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, this match ends with Cena getting the AA for the pin. Lol, Cena wins. And the babyface is celebrating the ring, doing the millions of dollars dance as Seth Rollins gets himself set up for that whole thing with Sting we talked about before. Fun main event matchup, though, guys. What do you got to say about it?
Part of me was like, awesome! The New Day gets a main event match. Well, Primetime Players get a main event match. But it was a solid match. It had a lot of fun moments. And typically, I'm not a big fan of these six-man tags, but when they include some of the lower card guys and give them a time to shine, it's kind of nice.
You know, WWE usually does things that are very predictable, but the first time tonight where I was like, I don't know where they're going with this, was when John Cena came out, because I wasn't paying attention to the fact that Primetime Players were going to be his tag team partner. And I was just like, oh man, like I'm really interested to see who's going to win, be tagging up with John Cena. I guess I'll try to work on the Did You Know for this week. I didn't actually watch like almost any of this. I was just kind of like, you know, I checked out like, you know, I'm watching that. My TV's right next to my computer screen, so I'm watching both like my peripheral vision and stuff. And the best part about the whole thing was the trombone. You should not have that be like one of your highlights of the night. Be like, well, you got all these wrestlers, all these great personalities, these great in-ring technicians and stuff, but that dude in the trombone stole it.
Why shouldn't it?
Hats off to Xavier. I was like not a big fan of his, but he's winning me over recently.
Why shouldn't someone incorporating a prop into their act be something that's like one of the highlights for the night?
Because if they weren't doing the trombone thing, I wouldn't have paid any attention to it. I was turning around to watch like what he was doing with the whole like Big E doing that and like the kicks in the corner, how he kept just kind of enunciating each one of them. Without that, like to draw attention to it, it would have just been background noise.
Is that what we've gotten to, where wrestlers have to bring instruments to the ring to get us to pay attention?
Well, I will tell you, this actually was a really good match. Well, one of my favorite things that actually happened throughout it, and props to Darren Young. Darren Young went around to the other side of the ring when Xavier Woods was poking himself up on the ring apron, pulls his ankles out from the apron, and drops him down into that gut check finisher he had, and it looked awesome. Probably one of the best finishers like that he's done.
Well, you know he's in the top 50 of the 500 list, right?
Well, he probably would have written him a nasty letter if he wasn't, so. Or a tweet or something about it.
Either way, it would have been bitchy.
Well, all right. That is, that's pretty much everything for the show tonight. Kind of zip through it. So, let's start going through some of our final bits here. Actually, I have to mention what my favorite pun of the night that I heard was. And no, this isn't going to be a regular segment. This is just one that I had for tonight. It was during that main event matchup. It was he was playing the trombone, and JBL comes on. Yeah, did you know that Xavier Woods was trained by Chief J Trombone?
Yeah, I did catch that. I liked it.
That was really clever. But you asked, saying that might be one of the Who Said It's. That's not going to be what it is, but I do have a fun Who Said It. And the way this works, if this is your first time listening, I give a quote from tonight's show, and the host here have to tell me who said it. So guys, who said it? Why did I say why? Who said it?
Why did I say why?
Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins! Why did they say why? Because it was a New Day who came up to him and they were like, and do you know why? And he's like, why? Because New Day rocks. New Day rocks. He's like, oh, why did I say why? Why did I say why? great character moment for that. All right. So let's take care of our edition of Tap Out, a new game we've been doing here the last few weeks, where I give you guys a topic, you guys go back and forth naming an example of that topic until one of you can no longer do it and has to tap out.
Man, I always lose at these. I always get the fucking who said it right and they get fucked with this one.
Well, let's see how you can do for this one. So, since Seth Rollins this week has done a lot of cool things, and most importantly, one of them, well, I guess depending how you look at it, is being number one on the PWI 500. My tap out for you guys this week is number one winners of the PWI 500, or basically people who got the number one spot. Tony, you started off.
John Cena. Mm.
The Miz. Mm.
Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bet. Randy Savage.
Nope.
Son of a
Randy Savage, surprisingly, never getting it. He's gotten the number two spot in 1992, I believe it was, under Sting. And I think that's where he topped out. He would have gotten it, I think, if they did it before 1991. That was the first year they did the 500. If they were doing it in, like, 88 through 90, I would almost think for certain he would have gotten it during one of those years. But by 91, he was already kind of being phased out in WWE.
Fuck, I should have said Shawn Michaels, Diesel, or Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah. Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold both winning it twice. Oh, no, Shawn Michaels only won it once. Bret Hart won it twice. Diesel won it once.
I totally winged AJ Styles, but I was just like, they're smarky. They'll do.
They did. Well, you know, it was a really slow year that year, and I think they just threw him a bone out of, like, respect.
Is it 05, 06?
It was 2011, actually. It was,
holy shit.
Yeah, not a year he should have won it. Like... But he did. But there was really nothing else going on that year, so it made sense. They could do shit like that. Yeah, I made a new archive of the PWI 500 on keepingkayfabe.com. You can go check that out. I learned a lot this week, and it's very interesting how they've constructed that list on a lot of years. I think it was 2005 is a very interesting list. You go in there and look at number 500 on the 2005 list, which, by the way, was topped by Batista. Number 500 on that list? A fellow by the name of Nick Namath.
Ah.
Sound familiar?
Mr. Dolph Ziggler.
Mr. Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. From 500 all the way to, I think he's in the top 10 in a few years. That's quite a journey. All right. Well, Tony actually losing this one. Wago, you complained enough. You actually won this one. So you get to choose how Tony does the plugs. So you get to get suggestions or come up with one yourself. The chat room, you are open to send one out there or on Twitter. You got a little bit of time to do it. In the meantime, though, we are going to do our good, bad, and ugly, where we tell you what the best part of the show was, the worst part of the show, and the most awful must-avoid crap on the show was. Check it out. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to get it started off with us hosts here. But if you have a good, a bad, and ugly, feel free to drop it off in the chat room. Wago, what was your good, bad, and ugly tonight?
So my good has to go to the Edge Christian Dudley Boys New Day segment backstage. A lot of fun. It was awesome. As far as the bad goes, Randy Orton versus Sheamus. No. No. Jesus Christ. No. We've seen it too many times. And for the ugly... The ugly is meant to be the spot for the thing that just makes you embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. And tonight, the whole Lana, Summer Rae, Ziggler, and Rusev thing, I would have been embarrassed if someone walked in on that.
Spoiler, I have the exact same good, bad, and ugly. Exact same good, bad, and ugly. The good goes to the trombone and kazoo segment. Bad, Orton and Sheamus, and the ugly, the whole love triangle shit with them.
I have the same...
Yeah.
Although I kind of grouped it in together as the good. Well, the good's the same thing. The bad was everything from the opening promo and the fact that they continued the shitty thing with actually doing the Orton versus Sheamus match. And the ugly was everything with the Divas. So that includes the Trouble in Paradise thing, which did not include Kofi Kingston.
Taking Silent Wind of Doom's good, bad, and ugly out of the chat room here. The good, the New Day promo backstage. That's unanimous so far. The bad, how much Christian spit Big E must have gotten in his mouth when he bit into that kazoo. That's a good point. That's Canadian. That's gross. Who knows what kind of weird Canadian diseases were in there.
He's going to fail the drug test now.
The ugly test, more like it. Speaking of the ugly, his ugly is the TMZ / Glee style recap of the Ziggler storyline. Yeah, that voice, what the hell was with that? I don't know what guy they dug up out of, like, fucking...
Fiverr.
Find the douchiest looking guy they can find on Fiverr just to say it for them. Oh, horrendous. All right. I have one final thing I almost missed to do here. I know you guys like my favorite commercial for the evening. My favorite commercial I'm going to nominate tonight, it's an older one. It's not a fresh one they show tonight, but I did enjoy watching it, was for Snickers, where it's like this fake Brady Bunch type setting. And Danny Trejo is playing the part of Jan complaining about Marcia. And basically it was just, you know, he's being a little bitch because he hasn't had his Snickers. I like those commercials. They're basically like, dude, stop being a bitch. Have a Snickers.
Yep.
Tell you what, I'm feeling the crabby. A Snickers usually does hit the spot.
I go for Reese's.
As far as favorite commercials go, I actually enjoyed the It's a Trap one for the smoking commercials. They're so over the top and silly. I'm like, yeah, it gets the point across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which one was that?
We did those ones last week, though.
I fucking probably wasn't paying attention.
Is that the meme one?
Yeah, the meme ones for the truth, the anti-smoking ones. Where they're like a party and shit.
Yeah, but it's better this week.
Sure. you know, absent this week from Raw, which was a big campaign they were playing for a while, was the Colonel. It seemed like they used to play those commercials a lot, and ever since they got Norm, he's been disappearing.
I got one of them.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. So at least one of them. Because I know it followed after, I think it was, they went to the commercial like during the page entrance or something. Because I was like, oh, fuck, now you're even going to go to a commercial that I don't like?
All right. Wago, moment of truth. What is Tony doing the plugs as tonight?
Well, nobody's given me any real good suggestions other than Silent Wind of Doom. So suck it up, Tony. You're going to have to do it as Wade Barrett.
I see Drew's in the chat. You want to get him to do the plugs instead?
No.
Oh, damn it. All right, let's see how terrible this will end up being, and this will kill my voice, I'm sure.
It's the end of the show.
You don't need your voice anymore, right? You don't need your voice for anything else.
All right. How do I start this off? How does he start off the bad news thing?
Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Usually by hitting his gavel.
All right, well, that's a gavel, I guess.
That sounded like a mallet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. I'm going to be doing the plugs tonight, and they're going to be fucking terrible. First off is Stephen Wago. You can find him at Stephen Wago on StephenWago.com. And everything else, Stephen Wago. You can check out Mick Freakin' Duncan, but if you think there's going to be any content on there, I'm afraid I've got some more bad news. And if you want to check out what Sean Walker is doing, well, fucking hell, I don't know what he's changed his username to this week. Go to keepingkayfabe.com, where you can keep kayfabe and check out a bunch of random shit that Peyton decides to put up on there this week. Follow megapowersradio.com on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and I don't know the links to those, but I do know the links to my own, which are smarkoutmoment.com and everything at smarkoutmoment.
It was good. I liked it. This has become my new favorite segment of the show.
Gavel a few balls. There we go.
You called it a gavel.
Yeah. You've trained me enough now.
All right, folks, check out all those sites you heard there, or else you're going to receive more bad news. I gave you a little bit of impression myself. Thank you very much for joining us live here on the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com. We'll see y'all next week. For Stephen Wago, for Tony Mango, I am Mike Payton. We'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.